morning. Our scripture today comes from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. And we read verses that are going to sound very familiar this morning based on that first hymn that we sang. It says, let's read it together. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's join in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight this day and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have been a minister of music in churches for 42 years. I tell people I started when I was four. And I let others worry about things like arithmetic, you know. So I'm often asked and have been what my favorite hymn is. And I used to give a pat answer, oh, I have so many favorites, you know, I couldn't name just one. I said that for years and years. And then I finally realized that there was one hymn text that moved me more than any other, especially when I took the whole context of the thing. Oh, love that will not let me go is a profound poem written by Scottish minister George Matheson in 1882, interpreting God's love as being unconditional, with persistence and a force that sustains us, remaining steadfast even through intense personal suffering, pain, and heartbreak. It signifies a shift from despair to our reliance on God's divine, unchanging love. What a beautiful thing to cling to bask in, to rely upon, and to give glory for, especially in this month of love with Valentine's Day at the end of the week. That's your reminder, fellas. End of this week, Valentine's Day. We're inundated all around us in our society with references to Cupid, and we're drowning in a sea of hearts and flowers, bows and arrows, red and pink. It's almost enough to give you diabetes, I tell you. So as we read this brief passage, throughout Jeremiah's life, the truth of God that was faithfully taught by this prophet was rejected and ridiculed. But when he saw the destruction and devastation of Jerusalem, he fell into deep depression and wept and mourned over the ruins of the beautiful city of God. But in his distress, hope was revived as Jeremiah looked away from himself to the Lord and called to mind the loving mercies, deep compassion, and long suffering of God for all of his rebellious people. And so he declares this beautiful truth: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. How often our own lives reflect this scene. We fulfill God's call upon our life, but discover that circumstances appear to contradict expectations. And we start to question God's call, God's character, God's concern, God's care for us, and we start to murmur and to ask why. But only as we look away from ourselves, our problems, and our own limited perspective, and call to mind the greater reality of his loving mercies and deep compassion and long suffering, do we recognize the chesed, the steadfast love of the Lord, which never ceases. only as we turn our eyes away from our own disappointments and look to his wider purpose and plan do we discover that his mercies never do come to an end, for they truly are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. I love to hear the choir and Michael sing and play that particular setting of this hymn. It immediately became a favorite of theirs, as it did mine. So we interpret this hymn and can take away several ideas. One is unconditional divine love. The love refers to God, whose commitment is unbreakable, regardless of human weakness or life's trials. His strength is indeed made perfect in our weakness. The surrender and the trust, the line, "I rest my weary soul in thee," signifies giving up self-reliance to find peace in God, particularly during times of emotional exhaustion or depression. Have you ever experienced that feeling? When you're lying down, resting, finally allowing your eyes and your body to relax, to stretch out, and to give in to the biological and chemical changes that happen as we're preparing for sleep. What a marvelous feeling. I've been told that this moment is my superpower, that I can fall asleep so fast as to be the envy of others. Yes, I've even fallen asleep mid-sentence. Yes. So finding joy even in pain, O joy that seekest me through pain, suggests that joy is not the absence of suffering, but a deeper comfort found within it. The thought that we can be sought out by the Spirit of God is amazing. I'm often brought back to that wonderful poem, "The Hound of Heaven" by Francis Thompson. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. The Lord's relentless pursuit of us shows such determination, such compassion, such forgiveness, always wanting the best for us, truly the agape kind of love, and that hope of eternity. The hymn, "O Love," moves from present sorrow to the promise of the morning eternity that blossoms. It's a new life from the dust of broken earthly dreams. And all of these, I think one of the things that's a favorite about this hymn, the metaphors, all of this symbolic language is so rich in the poem. The ocean, the soul is surrendered to God's love to become richer, fuller, and light, replacing fragile human efforts, the flickering torch, with divine eternal light and rainbow, seeing hope through the rain of tears. It's considered a hymn of hope, urging the listener to trust in a love that persists regardless of circumstances. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. So take a look at the historical context. Matheson, the author, wrote the poem in just a few minutes during a period of intense mental distress following a broken engagement and the loss of his sight. It was, as he described, the fruit of pain. Many hymn writers say they struggle when composing a hymn text, revising and tweaking it until the meter and the images are exactly right. Others conceive a hymn as a whole and transfer it to paper as quickly as they can write it down. Such was the case with me for our fight song, Go Forth and Change the World. I felt less like a composer and more like a scribe put to use by the Holy One. In the case of A Love That Will Not Let Me Go, a mystical experience inspired his creative process. Matheson himself provides us with an account of the origins. He says, "My hymn was composed in the manse of Inellan in Scotland on the evening of the 6th of June, 1882. This hymn was the fruit of that suffering. It was the quickest bit of work I ever did in my life. I had the impression of having it dictated to me by some inward voice rather than of working it out myself. I'm quite sure that the whole work was completed, can you imagine, in 5 minutes, and equally sure it never received at my hands any retouching or correction. It's almost as if God went, hey, I got a hymn for you. Boom. Does that express where you are right now? It sure did. I have no natural gift of rhythm, he wrote. All the other verses I've ever written are manufactured articles. This came like a day spring from on high. I've never been able to gain once more the same fervor in verse. It was first published by the Church of Scotland in a monthly magazine called Life and Work in 1883, and soon afterward in the Scottish Hymnal of 1885. Matheson became a brilliant student at Glasgow University. He never married. And his sister, get this, learned Greek, Latin, and Hebrew to help him through his theological studies as his eyesight began to fail. Oof. She also later helped with his pastoral responsibilities. He served effectively as a minister in parishes in Glasgow, and in 1886 became the pastor of the 2,000-member St. Bernard's Parish Church in Edinburgh. Matheson authored several books on theology and a volume of poetry, Sacred Songs. He was awarded the Doctor of Divinity degree by University of Edinburgh and the Doctor of Humane Letters from the University of Aberdeen. In 1902. Albert Peace was a well-known Scottish organist of his day. He wrote the tune St. Margaret that goes with this text in our hymnals at the request of the Scottish Hymnal Committee. According to Peace, the tune came to him as quickly as the text had come to Matheson. After reading it over carefully, I wrote the music straight off and may say that the ink was scarcely dry when I had finished the tune. It's frankly not an easy tune for the average congregant, so I'm glad other composers have set about musical settings of this text, like Elaine Hagenberg. But you may recall the way the original goes in our hymnals. Oh, love that will not let me go. And it's right here. I rest my weary soul in thee. And we're already out of my dad's range right there. You know, too wide. Each of the four stanzas starts with a key word. Love, light, joy, and cross. And these are not only attributes of the author's relationship with Christ, but also names given to the Lord. Love is a haven for a weary soul and is as deep as the ocean. The second stanza focuses on light that illumines the way, our flickering torch is augmented by the sunshine's blaze of Christ, the light of the world. Stanza three is one of joy, a joy that seeks us through pain. And the rainbow is a promise of hope following the rain, indicating that morn shall tearless be. The cross is the theme of the concluding stanza. Through Christ's suffering on the cross, red blossoms, or blossoms red, are formed that lead to the birth of new life. Citing the Handbook of the Church Hymnary by Scottish hymnologists James Moffat and Miller Patrick, Carlton Young notes that when Matheson wrote blossoms red, he was thinking of the blossom that comes out of sacrifice, the sacrificial life which blooms by shedding itself. White is the blossom of prosperity, red of self-sacrificing love. I'm indebted to the wonderful hymn analysis of Dr. Michael Hahn, retired professor of sacred music at Perkins School of Theology, a part of Southern Methodist University in Dallas. When Matheson was 19 years old, everything looked golden for him. A brilliant student, graduating with honors, he was engaged to be married to the love of his life. But then he rapidly began to lose his sight. The doctors said there was no cure. Turning for comfort to his sweetheart, he was stunned when she fled, saying she couldn't be the wife of a blind man. 20 years later, the shock of rejection resurfaced. By now, Matheson, known as the blind preacher, was beginning to draw attention for his scholarly writing and inspiring sermons. But all the success in the world could not cure his broken heart. O Love That Will Not Let Me Go was written on the evening of George's sister's wedding. His whole family had gone and left him alone. He had gone blind while studying for the ministry, and his sister had been the one who had taken care of him all these years. But now she too was gone. He had been a brilliant student. Some say that if he hadn't gone blind, he could have been the leader of the Church of Scotland in his day. He had written that German theology and wrote the Growth of Spirit of Christianity. But alone in the parsonage that night, 40 years old, Matheson succumbed to what he described as the most severe mental suffering. And that's when he composed the words of the hymn, a celebration of God's extravagant love with images of rainbows, rain, joy, pain, blossoms springing from dry ground. Matheson's hymn celebrates a love that is not fickle, it's faithful, a love that will endure through the worst of life's crises. A love in which our weary souls can rest from all the stress. This is a song of faith from parched lips, a vision of healing from sightless eyes. It's a hymn to heal broken hearts. The world found comfort in Matheson's verses, and why not? We too fall in love with the wrong people, endure fickle hearts and broken promises, self-help books pushing new ways to find and keep our soulmates, our bestsellers. Sales of romance novels soar even when the economy dips. The experience of rejection in all its forms shakes us to our very foundations and crumbles our fragile egos, even when the world rewards our accomplishments. Imagining a love that will not let us go seems like the stuff of fantasy. But when we surrender our wounded hearts to God's love, we know ourselves immersed in its ocean depths. The sacred flows over and around us. That second verse, O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray that is coming from the light of Christ, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, remember that Christ is the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be, for God shall wipe away all tears. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for teaching us from your word and from those words that you have inspired poets, authors, hymn writers through the years to write, to show us a glimpse yet again, a revelation of yourself. Thank you, Lord, for not letting us go. You are ours and we are yours forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.